Knoxville, this is the G.I. Jake Show, featuring Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, and your host, the unfiltered, unscripted, loose cannon of Knoxville sports radio, Jake Miller. The G.I. Jake Show starts now on Fan Run Radio.
Welcome in to the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Jake Miller alongside Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, and intern Jack. We are one day away from the real madness that is about to take place in the month of March as Tennessee gets set to take on St. Peter's. Last night, a little bit of a, I don't even know what you would call this. Colorado State took on Virginia in Dayton. Virginia only scores 14 points in the first half and only 42 for the game. Colorado State goes on to win 67-42. This is not the first time they have scored 50 or less in the past month, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Brett?
I think five times in the last like 30 days, five or six times.
That is pathetic. I mean, that's just pathetic. And the thing is, like, we were sitting here talking the other day and some other people that I talked to. We were talking about how Virginia probably shouldn't even make the tournament because they're just not a good team. I mean, they're not shooting the ball well. They're not playing good defense. They're just playing bad basketball. Like, it's like the NBA during the start of the regular season. It's just bad basketball. And that's what you saw out of them last night, in a moment in which it's like, okay, we can prove people wrong. We can go out there, prove our doubters wrong. Yeah, we can go out and we can win this game. Let's get in the first round of the NCAA tournament and try to make a run. You know, we've got a good coach on our side. Tony's got us a championship before. He did it 5 years ago. Let's do this. Let's see what we can make happen. And you come out and you do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Of course, the other game, Wagner beats Howard by a score of 71-68. So, I mean, I guess you can say a little bit of madness has already started, but the real madness starts tomorrow. You might have an interesting game, though, tonight. Marcus, you're a big WAC guy.
Yeah.
You got Boise State taking on Colorado tonight at 9:10 p.m. on True TV. And then you got Grambling and Montana State. Montana State, if they lose, they will have a losing season, but will have still made the NCAA tournament. We're going to be doing our second draft of our brackets today, our real ones, not an NIT bracket, not a fast food bracket. And the more I think about this, like, the more changes I want to make. And I hope that none of them involve our team. Reason being, there's a euphemism going around right now of teams that have won in the past 3 years over higher-ranked seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Fairleigh Dickinson. St. Peter's. Longwood. No further discussion will be had about that. But when I look at everything in this tournament right now, there's some weird betting lines, especially in some of those 6-11 matchups and even the 7-10s. Some of them are just weird. Take Colorado State and Texas, for example. Texas is only a 2.5-point favorite in that game. Colorado State has a record of 25-10. Texas has a record of 20-12. And then you have games, and I felt like the spread should be a little bit more on this one. Kentucky and Oakland, which the spread is in Kentucky's favor, 13.5. Gonzaga, only a 6.5-point favorite against McNeese State. I'm going to tell you right now, even if you don't take them on the money line, take McNeese State to cover. Or McNeese, they're kind of cutting out the state portion of that. That one's one that I'm really going to be looking forward to. Of course, the Tennessee spread, we're up to now 21.5 on St. Peter's. You know, I don't think they're giving the Peacocks any chance to really make a run, period. Another one to watch, another one, 13-seeded Samford versus number 4-seeded Kansas. Kansas only a 7.5-point favorite in that game. If all their guys were healthy, I feel like that spread would be a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not talking like 20 points more, but I mean, you would at least think it'd be about a 14.5 to a 15.5-point spread.
Easy.
Now, which granted, if those guys weren't hurt, they might not be a 4-seed. They might be a 3 or a 2. You never know.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of factors to take into this. And then you got Drake, the 10 seed, who is favored by 1.5 over Washington State. A lot of weird stuff happening right now. And it's only going to get weirder. It's only going to get weirder. Marcus, I know you're going to take NC State at +5.5 against Texas Tech.
Yes, sir.
You are going to take that bet.
Go Wolfpack.
And we're going to be making a lot of bets over the next 2 days. So the bets that we're going to be making today at the end of the show, like we always do in the G.I. Jake Show Betting Tracker presented by SM Athletics, we're going to make half of our bets for the first round today, and then the other half tomorrow.
Why aren't we just doing them tomorrow?
Hmm?
Why aren't we just doing them tomorrow?
Because there's going to be so many bets that are made. Like,
but the lines could change, right?
The lines could change. We're going to lock them in.
Okay.
We're going to lock them in. So what we're going to do.
Are we doing like Midwest and South one day and then East and East and West the other day?
Is that what we're going to do is the first round for Thursday, we're going to bet on all of them. We're just going to see how we do.
So that's what Marcus is saying.
Yeah.
The two reasons it's played tomorrow you're going to do today.
Correct.
And then okay. Friday tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
But then there's also going to be a caveat to that because that segment's going to go a little long because you got to take into account the second round games from this past or from tomorrow that will be played on Saturday. And then we might give you a bonus if you're in the 37 club.
So Saturday and Sunday.
Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to do something a little cool for the 37 club, but there's going to be an entirely different graphic that gets put out for this. I don't have enough room on our graphic to put out all of the bets that we're going to make today, but I expect it to be really fun. I think you all expect it to be really fun. I hope the listeners get some enjoyment out of it. And the thing is, I want to preface this by saying, should Brett or me or Marcus or Jack go 0-16 in this first round, things happen. Things just happen this time of year.
Oh.
Nobody is going.
I thought you were saying things are going to happen to that individual. They will be eliminated. They won't come back to the radio. One and done, just like basketball.
No, everything's all good on that front. Nobody's going to be tortured. Nobody's going to be hazed because the G.I. Jake Show has a zero tolerance policy against hazing. No hazing of any physical or mental form will be condoned.
Right. The only changes that could happen would be when Tennessee makes the Final Four and I do a solo show. That's the only thing that will ever change.
But if we lose to St. Peter's, I might jump off a bridge.
In video game.
Buddy, let me tell you. Does this game worry anybody at all?
No.
Because I feel a heightened sense of...
Worry you in the fact that we won't cover, or worry you that we might lose?
I mean, we know the stats with Rick Barnes against the spread in March.
But we also know his stats as a 2 seed in the first 2 days,
yes.
First 2 rounds. He's not lost.
No. So, I mean, and that's why I have Tennessee, I think they're going to stay put.
And let's be honest, Colorado State wasn't showing me much either.
No.
Like if they were to happen to beat Texas. They only scored, 25 points in the first half?
Yeah.
They weren't exactly lighting the world on fire.
Well, and weird stuff just happens this time of year.
Now, Virginia's good defensively. That's always their trademark, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I wasn't that impressed by. I'm expecting Texas to win that first round.
The takeaway from that game was that Virginia's terrible, more so than Colorado State's.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a great observation, Jack. I think that's probably the sentiment of a lot of people right now. And when you look at everything that happens in March, you compare it to certain rivalry games. Tennessee-Florida, where you just throw all common sense out the window. Tennessee playing at South Carolina in anything, you throw common sense out the window. The Iron Bowl, all common sense out the window. The Red River Shootout. The list goes on and on. Weird stuff happens in those games. Weird stuff happens in this tournament.
You kind of buried the lead a little bit.
What do you mean?
Connect. He got an award yesterday, didn't he?
First team All-American.
Some people were upset it wasn't unanimous.
Well, I mean, they should be. I mean, there's no reasons why somebody wouldn't vote for him.
Yeah, 6 people didn't, right? Is that the number? Like, he got 56 out of 62, whatever it is, votes for unanimous. Is that what it is?
Those people just aren't watching basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you can say about that, is people like that just aren't watching basketball. They really should have their votes stripped.
It's still first-team All-American, whether it has unanimous or in front of it or not. It's still an amazing accomplishment. What, the first since Grant, right, AP?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's congrats to him. Well-deserved. I mean, he's our catalyst. We go where he takes us, really.
He's the best we got. He's the best ball player on this team.
He's the one that I got the most confidence in that's going to show up and show out.
And he probably will.
And he's shown in these big moments, these big tournaments, he's can put on a show. So hopefully it'll be fun to watch for many rounds.
It will be, but at the same time, it's still concerning.
Yeah.
It's still very concerning, as a matter of fact. I'm scared. I'm scared. Marcus, we don't have Day That I Die by Zach Brown Band in the system, do we?
I can see what I can find.
If there's something in there that says that, do not play it. I don't want anything coming over the loudspeaker that doesn't need to come over the loudspeaker.
Marcus, day what?
Day That I Die.
Marcus, I think we need positivity. I think you need to hype us up on why we're going to go to the Final Four.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
But.
I mean, here's the thing, Marcus. I mean, we're just staring at the blank page before you.
Yeah.
Open up the dirty windows. Let the sun illuminate. Words you cannot find.
So true.
You know, there's something in the distance. So close, you, Brett, could even almost taste it.
Release your inhibition.
And feel that rain on your skin.
No one else can feel it for you.
Is that what the Elite Eight will feel like?
Only you can let it in.
Is that all?
No one else.
Because I've felt the Sweet 16, and it was nice, but I'm tired of it. What is the next?
Brett wants more.
Yeah, what's it look like through there?
I don't know. I really don't. I know what it looks like from
the
outside
perspective. We had a tease once, right?
Man, we've had a lot of those.
What year was that Elite Eight?
2010.
Yeah.
And that was
Quanzo.
No.
Right?
No,
Pearl.
That was Bruce's second to last year.
I don't know why I keep thinking Quanzo made it. He got close.
Sweet 16 run.
Jarnell had that bad call, right? Was that Michigan game?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Marcus, I feel like you have found – you found a particular bumper, haven't you?
Maybe, but I'm not sure. It's 30 seconds.
Maybe we should test it during the break.
Yeah, let's test it during the break. That'd be a better idea.
Yeah, let's do that.
Poor Sammy, who's joining us here momentarily, she might be scared. This is going to be scary. This is going to be scary. This entire tournament is going to be scary. I'm scared. I hate to be that way, guys. I really do, but look at what all's happened.
Let me ask you a genuine question before we hit break.
Why are you up?
You know, I'm going to share a fun fact with you. I don't know what that's from, and I'm going to have to figure that out because you do that to me all the time. What would make you feel more comfortable after, like, obviously beating St. Peter's, but beating them by how much? How do you want that game to go that will make you comfortable for the rest of the tournament?
If we win by 5 points, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to be mad on Friday.
Okay, well, how many points do you want to win by that will make you
cover
feel
the
at
spread.
Ease?
Cover the spread.
So if they don't cover, let's say they hit like 18.
I'll be meh.
What? The year we lost to Michigan, how much did we beat that team? We hit like 23s. Remember that? In the first round game, and then we lost to Dickinson the second round?
I thought it was.
Remember that game? We were ice cold.
What year was that?
But you know what I'm talking about? Like the first round game we shot lights out against, it was a couple years ago, right?
Who was on that team?
Uros was trying to guard him, right? When he was trying to guard him way out on the perimeter.
We lost to Michigan in the second round.
Yes. We played Longwood before then. And we shot lights out, hit like 23s, right?
Yeah.
Like set a record, you know? And then the next game we only hit like two.
Because you had Kennedy Chandler trying to carry the entire
team
because nobody
else
could
hit a ball.
Yes,
he kept getting to the basket, hitting layups, and nobody else could hit a shot. So that worries you. Like, we waste all our bullets on the first-round game against St. Peter's, and you can't throw in the ocean the next game, even though it's the same arena, same ball, same everything.
Yep. The same ball that's being used in the NCAA tournament is the same one that was used in the SEC tournament, the Wilson Evo NXT.
Uh-oh. Is that what they used for the NCAA tournament, too?
Yeah. So that's the ball that was introduced to the NBA because, you know, Spalding had been the what?
Sorry, Jack just went through puberty there for a second.
Goodness.
Someone throw it there.
Golly. Stay with us. Maybe we'll make some sense out of this tournament when we return. Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here in Fan Run.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being...
Back here on the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio. Marcus, I appreciate that. You just put everyone but Brett in a good mood.
That's what I usually do.
Pleased to be joined by Sammy Kincaid, the Fan Run OG. Sammy, what's up?
Hey, you guys. Happy morning. I was not prepared for that bumper, that music headed into to today.
Well, the rest is left unwritten, so you never know.
Oh, my goodness.
They should have played the bumper of them singing it before they came on the air.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Just maybe that's why I hate it.
I hope somebody
now
got a video of that.
Oh, we do not. I wish there was a video of us just jamming out.
I'll be honest with
you. My phone will never do that.
We will probably be singing that song all week long, so there's going to be a chance for it.
That song will be played every day until we lose.
Let's hope tomorrow.
Oh, Brett. We don't want to lose tomorrow.
Wow, bringing the mood down so quick, you guys.
And
you're the one that said you were scared.
I am scared, but after hearing that song, I'm ready to go to the Final Four, baby. Okay. I'm ready to go to the Final Four.
Is that a Final Four song?
That's our Final Four song. Oh, my goodness.
Sammy, I like it.
Brett has concerns for tomorrow. I think everyone, you know, it's March. I mean, let's call that like it is. It's like any rivalry game that you've ever watched in your life. You don't look at the spread. You don't look at over-unders. You don't look at common trends. Because weird stuff just happens in March, much like it happens in the Iron Bowl. Tennessee, Florida, the third Saturday in October. Anytime that Tennessee goes down to South Carolina in anything, weird stuff just happens in March. What are some of the things that you do to prepare yourself for the madness that is about to take place?
I mean, I think you just have to enjoy the ride of it. I mean, you want to see a Cinderella team. Let's not let it be tomorrow night, but you want to see one of the Cinderella teams make it to the end. And you always like rooting for that underdog through the tournament. So to root for the underdog, you want some chaos. And I think that's just what makes the tournament so fun is the chaos, and you have no idea what's going to happen. And anyone can win any game. And so it's just, if you're whenever you're covering these teams and you're working with these teams, it's something you don't take for granted because it's a really special experience, and you got to remember that anyone can win any game, and so it's a fun time. I'm really excited though for the chaos.
And the chaos is going to start tomorrow.
Chaos. Say that again.
Embrace the chaos because the chaos starts tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it's here so soon. It's crazy to think that March Madness is already here, but it's crazy to think that. It feels like we were just starting this basketball season, and to think that we are already in the chaos, it's a good time.
And it feels like, you know, we haven't talked to Sammy that much, but, I mean, you got to think her first appearance on this show when we first started it was right when SEC play started. And then the following week, nobody came to the studio for 3 days because we couldn't get to the studio for 3 days. And now here we are, almost to the end of April, and it is the greatest spectacle in sports. And, of course, we got the women's tournament as well. I made everybody fill out an NIT bracket yesterday. That was something. But, Sammy, when you look at this first round, which game do you see being the most probable upset from any team whatsoever? Now, obviously, you know, an 8 and a 9, it's not really an upset. 7 to 10, okay. But when you really get in those 6-11 matchups, that's when you really start to see stuff, and it's like, okay, maybe this could happen. They shouldn't beat this team, but they very well might. When you look at the slate of games that we got between tomorrow and Friday, which one stands out to you the most and says, this is a definite upset? I'm picking this game and not looking back.
Oh, man, I filled out my bracket a few days ago. So I was trying to pull up what I had picked from my bracket a couple days ago. I did the ESPN challenge on there, and let me see what I picked as my biggest upset. Honestly, hold on, give me a second, you guys. You kind of threw me with that one.
It's all good.
I'm sorry. I should have had my bracket. I should have known you were going to ask me about the full bracket. I was ready to talk Tennessee. I should have known you were going to talk full bracket. But, I mean, I think The one thing that I think is surprising on my bracket that I think would throw a lot of people off, a lot of people have UConn in the finals, and I don't have UConn in the finals.
Wow.
Yeah, so that I would say is the biggest. I know I picked UConn losing to Auburn, I want to say. They're in the same, correct?
Yes.
Yep, I have UConn losing to Auburn and then Auburn going on. So that's, I would say, probably one of the biggest surprises in my bracket. But I can't get my bracket pulled up right now, you guys. So sorry about that. But I would say that's probably my biggest surprise in mine.
I would say probably the biggest in mine, and I've been on this team for a minute, McNeese beating Gonzaga. I've been on that for ever since my bracket got put out, and I'm sticking with that one. That's going to be my go-to upset for that one. Not only that, I'm not so sure that Kansas is going to handle Samford the way that they should. And even if they make it to the round of 32, I've got McNeese in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great pick there as well. I'm still trying to get this pulled up. I'm determined to get my bracket pulled up from what I had picked. But no, I like that. I mean, you just never know what could happen in this. And that's what's fun about it. I think another one that I had picked, I also had, I had Grand Canyon beating St. Mary's. I remember picking that. That's a 12 beating a 5. So I had a couple of upsets in mind. But it's hard to pick those upsets of who's really going to – who do you think is going to be that Cinderella team? But, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be. Like, it used to be just a guarantee the higher seed would win a lot of times, and you just get surprised by these lower seeds. And now the lower seeds are just as almost as talented. They may not play the same competition, but – all these teams have players now, one to two guys that can just go get a basket, you know, and that's the hard thing about this tournament nowadays. Like, you just don't know, and, you know, so many people want to throw stats and analytics at you, and, you know, I feel like it's just a clean, you know, you wipe the slate clean. Every team plays differently when you get to March. There's more stress and anxiety, and your shot's going to be different. Turnovers are going to happen more and more, even if you're a non-turnover team. So you just really don't know which way to go with this. You know, it's so hard to, you know, when you're talking Tennessee, people want to go quick to talk about, oh, what are we going to do when we see Purdue? Like, how do you even know? Like, so, or even Creighton. You know, we don't even know who we're playing next round. We only know who we're playing on Thursday. So that can be the stress about.
I do have that as an upset. I do have that. I got my bracket pulled up. So I have Oregon and Creighton playing each other in the second round.
Okay.
And I have Oregon beating Creighton. Got in my bracket.
Yeah, so we're sitting here worrying about Creighton, and you got us playing Oregon, I'm assuming. So it's like...
I have us playing Oregon, then playing Purdue.
You know, like, that's why you got to take it one game at a time. I know when you're picking a bracket, it's completely different than just talking about the game itself or whatever. So, I mean, what's your overall thoughts on Tennessee, and how far do you have them going, I guess, is my question.
In my bracket, I got them winning it all, of course. Okay. You gotta put them winning it all.
Wow, really?
I wouldn't be a true alumni if I didn't have my alma mater winning it all.
Yeah, but you're trying to win $1 million, aren't you? It's a little different. I know you have another a real bracket, don't you? You're just pulling a fast one on us so you don't know your real picks.
Well, here's the thing. There is a scenario that I have in which Tennessee will play Kentucky in the Final Four and avenge the loss in Knoxville. Michigan State will beat Auburn in the Final Four on the other side of the bracket, and then Tennessee avenges the Elite Eight loss in the championship game with a combined score of 175.
Jeez.
Well, so I have Houston and Tennessee playing in the Final Four, and Auburn and North Carolina playing in the Final Four, and then Tennessee beating Auburn in the championship game with a combined points of 169.
So what do you like so much about Auburn? Is it because they're running their mouths right now, or they won the SEC tournament? It's so
and I really Stephen
Pearl
really
has really turned you on to them, I see.
I really want to play them. And plus, I mean, I've talked about this last time I was on. It's whatever team's hot right now. You want to be hot towards the end of their season, and they're hot right now. So I think that they'll end up doing well. But I really just wanted a Tennessee-Auburn game in there, so that's how I ended up getting to my final
I got you. No, all good.
Sammy, I'm on the same boat as you. I believe in Tennessee, unlike my my compadres over here. I have them winning it all too, but even if I feel uncertain about them winning it all, I do feel confident of us going to a Final Four. You look at our side of the bracket, and really the biggest test, even if we do play Creighton, I still think the biggest test is going to end up being Purdue. If we meet them in the Elite Eight. If that were to happen, I know there's a lot of ifs, but when you go up against that team again, we saw them early in the season, is there a little more confidence that now that we've had one round with them that maybe we can readjust our scheme and try to take down Zach Edey?
Well, I think in basketball specifically, you can't necessarily get too confident in what the other team is doing because, I mean, they saw you as well. So they know exactly what you're going to want to do as well. And it's just playing your own game and making sure that you can stick to your own game. That, I think, is the biggest key. Do what you do best, and then you'll be able to take care of the ball, and you'll be able to get the win at the end of the day. That's, I think, the biggest key for Tennessee is don't get so caught up in the first go-around. Just actually play your game. That seems to be the biggest struggle this team has had all season, is being able to stick to what they do best. I mean, it's why SEC tournament went the way it did. Yes, you had Zakai put up 20 points, but he only had 2 assists. Whenever Zakai's not passing the ball to his teammates, Tennessee does not find a way to win. He needs to be that leader and really setting up his teammates the way that they've seen success whenever he does that. So I think that Tennessee just really needs to get back to what they know how to do and stick to that game plan and not get so caught up in what the opponent's doing. I mean, yes, you obviously scout some, and it does help seeing what they did the first time, but they're also going to change things up because they saw how you came in that first go around. So I don't think it's necessarily get so caught up in what they're doing, but get caught up in what you need to do to be successful.
And that kind of leads into my second question, which was going to be for the tournament as a whole, for Tennessee to have success in each game, is Zakai your X factor? Is that going to be, obviously we know what Dalton can do. And as long as he's on his game, we're going to feel good, but obviously there has to be the rest of the team. So in your eyes, to make it down that stretch, to have a chance at the first Final Four, to have a chance at winning it all, is Zakai playing his game? Is that kind of your X factor for this tournament?
Oh, absolutely. I really think that that was the difference maker in the SEC tournament. And anytime Tennessee has had a bad loss, it's because Zakai has not passed the ball to his teammates. He's not set them up in the best way. Yes, it's great. He put up 20 points, but the team is more successful, and the team is not one person. So the team needs to play as a team, and that's whenever Zakai is setting up his teammates and being a leader in that way. So I think that is the biggest key for Tennessee to see success in the tournament.
And then last question for me, I have to ask because I've been hounding on it all week. My dark horse, my Cinderella team, is the NC State Wolfpack. So I have to know, how far do you have them going? Just for me personally, I need to know if I have a...
Let's see.
Please don't say they're knocked out
the
first round.
Where do I have them going right now?
Oh, please say
I do not have them making it past the first round.
Yes,
Sammy, come on. Wow. Did you not see what they did to North Carolina? Come on.
I'm sorry. I have Texas Tech, and then I actually do have Texas Tech over Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
So I have an upset there. But, yeah, I'm sorry.
I'll forgive for now, but I'll remind you if we Wolfpack end up overseeding the Texas Tech, I'll remind everybody.
I do have a friend on that Texas Tech coaching staff, so I will say that one was a little bit biased.
Oh, I see how it is. Okay. All right. Well, I'll send some NC State gear to him if you need me to. Just let me know.
I'll make this one probably pretty simple for you. I'll switch over to the women's real quick. Is it just South Carolina's to lose that women's tournament?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I don't know. I think that it's going to be pretty hard to beat South Carolina. And, I mean, it was – Tennessee. It was Lady Ball that has given them their heart. Other than Lady Ball, nobody's really given them a hard time this season. I really think it is theirs to lose. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just go ahead and take the rings. I really would say that.
Yeah.
My goodness. It should be noted. It should be noted. With the NIT bracket that we made yesterday, Sammy, I'm not going to put you through that. Yeah. I went 6-3 on the day yesterday.
Look at you go.
I honestly don't remember who I picked, so I'm not going to look. I did have Indiana State, obviously.
You went 1-8.
Ah, good. Very good.
Oh, that's why you don't want to look, because you know it was
going to
be bad.
All my energy's focused on March Madness. I can't focus on NIT.
This is March Madness.
You know what I meant.
You want Indiana State to win so bad more than anybody in the NCAA tournament.
I believe in that.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yes, it is.
Hey, you just wait until I make you fill out a CBI and a CIT bracket in the next segment. Sammy, thank you so much for hopping on with us. Tell us where to find you on Twitter.
I keep it real simple. It's just SAMIKINCAID, first, last name.
Sammy, thank you so much for hopping on with us. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Bye, guys.
That is Sammy Kincaid, the Fan Run OG, making her weekly appearance here on the G.I. Jake Show. When we return, let's see what I can drum up for us, boys. Let's see what I can drum up. Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here on Fan Run Radio. Are you... Segment of hour number one here on the G.I. Jake Show. Let's go right to the phones. Phil is up. What do you say, Philly?
Hey, Jake Snake.
Philly!
I guess Marcus has his wish. BJ be going against Indiana State tonight.
That they will. The
I
NIT.
Kind of cool, you know?
I kind of like it, to be honest with you. I kind of like it. I might tune in.
Well, SMU plays like they have in the last couple of games, and Indiana State ought to have a cakewalk on them.
Phil, I just got on ESPN's page to try to go down to see what other NIT games were going on tonight, and the first thing I see is a picture of Shaka Smart and Sister Jean. She is so ugly. Why would you ever make that the face of your basketball team? I mean, she, honest to God, looks like a bag of dirt.
You're bringing the wrath upon us right
I
now.
I do not care.
She's like 105. What do you expect her to look like?
I don't know.
Yeah.
At least a bag of crystals. Look better than that.
Especially if they're, the whole bag's gone, you know?
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't know what to think. I just hope Tennessee's ready to play, because the floor has to be the Sweet 16. Now, anything worse than that, I mean, good Lord, it'll be a blood lot going on here, you know?
It would be a disaster.
It'd be good. Well, it'd be good radio, but I'd sooner win than have good radio.
Well, the thing is, Phil, when we have an embarrassing loss like we did last year, and I know you remember this, you know, after we lost to FAU, like I basically had a full-blown meltdown in the first segment last year. If we don't at least make the Elite Eight, you're probably going to get the same this year, because this is the year in which you got talent over there, at least one piece of talent, that is capable of making that run that you've never made before. And if you don't make it this year, you're probably not going to make it. You at least have to make your seed line. You have to at least make it to the Elite Eight in order for this season to be considered a success.
Well, we got some other factors involved. You got Barnes, his track record. Then you got Gainey, who can't guard anybody. And you got Vescovi and Triple J. You don't know what you're going to get out of them.
No. And the thing is, like, you haven't known what you're going to get out of them all year. You know, at the start of the year, it seemed like Triple J, you know, we had found some consistency. And that's what that felt really promising at the start of the year. Yeah, we lost those games out in Maui. Yeah, we lost to North Carolina. But at least you felt like he was being consistent. He was going out there getting you 10, 12 points a night. And then all of a sudden, he just disappeared. Like you said, Phil, he disappears every single year. And then Vescovi this year, yeah, he's going to be the first guy that's chasing after a long rebound. He's going to go out there and probably outwork you on the defensive side, but you're not getting any offensive production out of him like you have in years past, and that's been very frustrating. And, I mean, that pretty much just sums up this whole Tennessee basketball team. frustrating in one word, because you know good and well, every last one of us in here knows that we probably could have went undefeated in SEC play.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's bad.
I don't know if it was a caller or one of these sidekicks said that if Triple J had 8 points or more, Tennessee's undefeated this year.
I think that would have been Billy Stats that put that out there.
I think though, no, I think really we lost. I think we lost one because he went for 20 against Carolina.
I think we were 8-1 was the stat.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
it might have been 8-0 at home.
I still shows you he's got to produce for us to, you know.
Hey, he's
really more important than Vescovi.
He's shown he can score. He scored all those points against Kentucky. Obviously, it's Carolina. You're talking about two of the top teams in basketball. I mean, he's capable.
Well,
we know Vescovi's capable. He's a two-time first-team All-Conference.
Well, and something
I don't
else
know what's
that,
happened to that guy.
I don't know.
It's one thing for James not to be scoring. We never really expected him to be scoring.
Right.
But Vescovi, for his career, has been 12 to 15 point a night scorer.
Well, and Phil, something else to think about. Look at when Zakai Ziegler shoots the ball from three more than seven times in a game. If he's shooting the ball that much, if he shoots the three 10 times, we're not winning.
Yeah. Well,
what do you want him to do? He can't get in the basket, and he can't shoot I mean, he's got to shoot threes.
But if he's not making them, then he's got to pass the ball to somebody else.
But they won't shoot.
Oh, my God.
That's the problem. We have a big predicament right now. Vescovi's lost all confidence where he's just pump faking like crazy. He does it 15 times a game, and it works, but he doesn't do anything after he pump fakes.
That's one thing.
He shouldn't pump fake. He should just get it and shoot it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one reason why, like, I've kind of changed my – like, I love Vescovi, and I want him to
– We all do.
– to succeed, but I think if Rick wants the potential of success for this tournament run, I really do think he needs to probably tell – Santin, just say, hey, listen, we're going to sit you on the bench. You're going to come off the bench right now.
Right now? It's a little too late to do this, right?
Why?
This is probably your last game.
Put Meshack in there.
Against St. Peter's? What are you doing?
Marcus, you don't know. You don't know.
Have
We've
him
seen
come off the bench. This
win.
Is the best time to do it, to test
Why?
Out to see if – because you got to get something going.
Right now?
You got to get something going.
Goodness,
because if he's going out there and not shooting the ball, then yeah. You know what? I'd rather have
Meshack
out
ahead.
There.
Go ahead, dude.
You're insane.
You're insane.
Everybody shut up and let Phil talk.
Exactly. I do agree, Marcus. So, I mean, Marcus starting to make a little bit of sense.
I thought he didn't
now.
Know basketball,
cool,
Phil.
You know?
I thought he didn't know basketball.
No, you don't
hey,
know basketball,
I mean,
Brett.
A blind hog can find an acre.
Okay, what is Meshack going to give you off the bench? He's not going to score.
At least he can play defense.
He can penetrate.
Yeah,
he can penetrate
Vescovi
all the way to the rack,
defense?
And he can make a pass for a wide open shot. He can do that. You ain't seen it all year.
Thank you, Phil.
And limited playing time.
Has Vescovi not played defense? I'm sorry. He leads you in steals.
Does Vescovi go and drive to the hole and do anything? No.
All right, bench him. Let's do it. Let's go for it.
He
I'm
can come
it.
Off the bench. He might play better coming off the bench. Oh, try
God,
something different.
Goodness gracious.
Just doing the same old stale bread Barnes does. You get your beat.
What happened last time he put a star on the bench?
Do what?
What happened last time we put a star on the bench?
That's different, and you know
why?
It. Because that was not at the beginning of the game. That was during overtime.
Even worse.
That's completely – yes,
well,
it is.
Well, that's a completely different situation, too. Grant Williams, two-time SEC player of the
so
year.
Is Vescovi.
He ain't playing like it.
Okay.
Well, there was a difference. We had more players that could play back then than we do now. I mean, I don't know why everybody going on acting like this team is better than that team. It's not. From pure talent standpoint, it's not as good. But if it gets to the Elite Eight, you can say this is the best team ever here because they accomplished more.
Agreed. Cause,
but we're not there yet.
Well, and I mean, you look at that Bruce team that went. I mean, that wasn't even Bruce's best team that went. His best team was probably in 07, the team that got to number one and that should have beat Ohio State. We were up by 20 and then blew a second-half lead, ended up getting put out in the Sweet 16 once again. And then that Elite Eight team, I mean, I don't know, man. We just got lucky.
Yeah, because we didn't even play good in regular season that year.
No, I mean, I think we had to play in the number 6 seed play-in game because that was a thing back then. Because didn't we have to beat San Diego State?
That's when what's his name played for San Diego State, wasn't it?
Kawhi Leonard and Brian Williams said he smelled like hot dog water.
Guys, I'm just looking at this practice report from the football team this morning, and looks like Tennessee's defensive line is the deepest part of their football team. The depth on the defensive line, you can include the ends and the tackles and everything else.
And that's something we talked a little bit about the other day, was the fact that you look at this team, and the one area in which we don't really have any worries whatsoever, I mean, it's our front seven, it's our defensive line and our linebackers. I don't think there's much worry about that at all. The biggest concern is the secondary. That's why we were trying to avoid the question the other day. But I'm expecting big things out of this offense. I'm expecting big things out of this front seven. I don't know what to expect out of the secondary.
Who's going to be Tennessee's field goal kicker this year?
I have no earthly idea, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
Well, that's what Brent and Marcus in there do something out there, but Jake.
That's what I got intern Jack for.
Yeah, I can go kick for him.
Jack will do it.
Jack will do it.
Well, it's kind of cool if I ask that same question at 3 o'clock and nobody know, you know, but they know everything. See ya.
Appreciate the
phone
call,
Phil. Some guy named JT Carver, redshirt junior, place kicker. I'm not sure. It's from Martin, Tennessee.
Yes. Let's get Roberto in here next. I want to talk to Roberto. Hey, Roberto.
What do you say, Jake?
What do you say, Roberto?
Former intern Brent. I tell you what, guys, I'm excited. I am not excited to catch Colorado State, though, if that happens. And I think it's what's going to happen. They're pretty good.
How mad would you be?
Beyond mad. I'd be beyond pissed. There's no other way to say it.
I'd probably come in here and start crying. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I'd probably start crying. I'd be so mad.
Nah, you're too masculine for that. You wouldn't cry in front of people.
They were playing a Natasha Bedingfield song. It's questionable. Whoa, right now.
Now, stop it. That's a banger. That is a great song.
I mean, it was a perfect lead-in for Sammy, and she loved it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Brett, you got to play to your audience, man. She's the only reason half the people tuned in today. She's wonderful. She actually brought the heat. I liked it. Talking about this tournament, man, it just feels like it's too set up for Tennessee at this point. You know, listening to the show before yours, listening to the morning guys, they had a better on, and I mean, he was basically saying he has Tennessee in the Final Four, and it should be a pretty much a walk for them, even including Purdue.
I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
This is a guy that actually deals in variance, you know?
This is true.
That's somebody I trust over a bunch of yokels like us.
Well, I mean, yes, but here's the thing, man. I know this sport, and I know what happens in March. Weird stuff just happens.
Would be the weird stuff happening, Jake.
Yes.
Have you ever stopped to try to be positive on that? Maybe we're the weird thing that happens, and we make our first Final Four.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, Roberto. These guys across the room for me do not enjoy being positive.
But again, we've had it set up for us before.
I love to be positive, man. That's the thing, is I want to be positive. I want to go out and I want to win that damn thing. I've never seen it happen. I want to see us win. I probably want this, and all the other negavals that everyone gets lumped in that category of, guess what? We want this more than anybody.
I would be probably considered a negative.
Yes.
But I mean, I'm desperate for. I just want to get to a Final Four, guys. I don't even care to win the thing. It feels like when you reach a Final Four in basketball, it's like winning a national championship in almost any other sport, including football. I know that sounds crazy, but that's how it feels.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because you get a banner for that.
You're damn right, you do.
You get a banner for that.
And beyond that, it's just. You know, I mean, if you reach the Final Four, it's all variance and coin flips at the Final Four. You know, that's what I really believe. And, you know, we get to the Final Four and we get a few breaks in the Final Four. God only knows. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not sure Sammy was wrong. I don't think she was wrong. I don't know if it's hard to repeat. Everybody keeps saying UConn this and that. What if we play them in the championship game? It is hard to repeat as national champions.
Then Pat Summitt will be watching over.
Oh God! Can you imagine? I don't even want to get into what the Lady Vols fans might do, but I wanted to actually. That's not even why I called. Really, I want to throw you guys a big old curveball. Quite literally, how about the Vols baseball team dominating a really good team last night? everybody looked at Xavier's record and thought they suck. You guys realize they're a top 35 RPI team?
Really?
Yeah. They're barely behind us. I mean, we're barely in the top 25. They're a really good baseball team, and that was a really good win last night. That's why they can pitch, man. They had a lefty come in. He couldn't find the zone, but he could throw 95. They don't suck. I know it's all basketball all the time, but let's talk about this baseball team a little bit. We were really down after this weekend as baseball fans.
Yes.
But that was a nice snapback win for them. Guys, just look at Xavier, even though, again, I think they were a 9-11 coming in the game or a 9-10.
Yeah.
But their losses are to, like, top five teams. They played LSU. They've done a whole bunch of stuff. So, again, I want to submit that to the conversation and go back to this. Marcus, I love you, man. And I want NC State to be so good for you. I want the round mound of whatever he is over there to do well because he's a former Vol. Mm-hmm. Buddy, I get to thinking about it. The best you got is maybe the second round, bud. I love you, man.
Oh, man, what are you doing to me?
I'm trying. I've looked at my bracket a million times.
Listen, they have the heart and soul of the, what was it, 82 team? Was that the year that they won it all?
Yeah. They also have the munchies, from what I understand.
They might also have that. And you know what? maybe that's what helps push them through. You never know.
I'll say this. It's a damn shame that Fats Cafe closed.
All of them did?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
You're serious? I swear I saw one like a week ago when I was in North Carolina.
From what I've heard, they've all shut down or are planning to shut down.
That is a travesty. That's a travesty.
I'll tell you what, they have some good chicken.
I appreciate the time, and I'll just leave you at this. Brett, it's time, man, for you to just kind of get on the train and be happy for once in a while. Vescovy not playing defense is not a thing. You are correct about that. Like, he does play defense, but Phil's kind of right. Like, start him on the bench and bring him in for maybe here's a thought. Since this St. Peter's team is a team we should beat, how about you start him and Adu on the bench and don't play Ganey at all and see how that works out? For real. I'm totally serious. And just see what happens. Because you should have height over these guys, defend, and put in some guys who will actually rebound and play hard. Because that's one thing I think about Adu is he just doesn't look like he's playing hard. He's the softest 6'11 guy I think I've ever seen, not named Kevin Durant. So
You're not reassuring me of anything.
Do what now?
You're not reassuring me of anything.
Oh, my goodness.
In what way?
Saying Adu's soft.
He is soft. Everybody knows that.
Golly. Roberto, we appreciate
it. It doesn't mean we're going to lose. It just means he's soft.
I mean, Roberto, you've got a great point, man. We'll talk soon. Hopefully I'll see you at the game this weekend. Stay with us. Hour number one of the books. Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the